time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
Three employees and two work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a busy night across the Scottish Premiership. Celtic win under Martin O'Neill, beating Falkirk 4-0 in the east end of Glasgow. A good win for Rangers on the road at Easter Road, with Hibs missing a late penalty and the gap at the top is cut to 6 points. Hearts held in a controversial evening in Paisley, with Motherwell lodging a big win of their own. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight in about a minute, once he beats the traffic and gets in here, will be Ross McCormick. But Gordon DL, always here nice and early, lots to talk about.
Yeah, plenty to talk about, as you quite rightly said there, Gordon, in the intro. It was a busy night, a good night, exciting night of football. You look at Celtic, a full house at Celtic Park, looking at Martin O'Neill's first game in charge with Sean Maloney. They got off to a great start. A lot of people enjoyed the football, the brand of football. I think that was a big talking point. Rangers go through a difficult game at Easter Road. Wasn't a classic, but it was all about getting 3 points. That was what the manager says when he come in. Danny Rule, he says, look, forget everything, I've got to start winning games. And he's certainly doing that, 2 out of 2. I thought Motherwell were absolutely brilliant against Dundee United. Great result for them. And the league leaders, showing a bit of character, always a difficult place to go. 2-1 down, comes back in, gets a point. And Derek McInnes quite rightly said, if you gave me at this time, just going into November, as Ross goes, going to get out the road, I'm trying to talk.
Just walks right in front of you.
Yeah,
in the live
exactly.
Stream.
Not even good an apology. And Derek McInnes quite rightly says, at this stage of this season, 6 points ahead, top of the league, take that, of course you would.
What do you think, Ross McCormick?
Come on, Roscoe.
What was your question, sorry?
How bad was the traffic from Edinburgh? How long did it take you, that's the question, to get from Edinburgh to Clydebank this evening?
3 hours, 45 minutes from Selkirk.
Oh, Selkirk, right, okay, yeah, but still. Yeah. 3 hours
can't
and 45
you
minutes.
Plenty of time, Ross.
Was that not enough? Like,
no.
When do you want me to leave last night? Leave last night.
Exactly.
Well, you're here now. Anyway, 0141 951 1025 is the number that you need. So get in touch. So much to look back on. Who would have thought we'd be reflecting on Martin O'Neill taking charge of Celtic? But there we are. What did you make of it, Celtic fans? You can give us the old nostalgia bit if you want. How did it feel to see Martin O'Neill, Copas on, trackies tucked into his socks, jumping up and down in the technical area when Celtic scored? Did it bring it all back for those of you of a certain vintage? Give us all your thoughts there. And on a more serious note, what did you notice? Was it different in any way? He's only been in a day or so, but was it a bit more up and at him? Will Celtic have a bit more intensity, a bit more aggression in their play? They clearly won very comfortably. What else did you take away from it? Johnny Kenny, when you look at the goals that he scored, he's going to have to play at the moment and carry the burden up front a little bit. So how important could that be for him? Austin Trusty came in and so on. So what did you take away from it last night? Rangers fans, all of a sudden, back-to-back wins, going to somewhere like Easter Road. I think a few weeks ago most people would have you written off ahead of that fixture. So what pleased you the most from that? Is Danny Rowles certainly making you hard to beat earlier on? Is that the main difference? Of course, it's going to be difficult to completely transform everything, and there wasn't loads in the game, and Hibs probably do feel hard done by passing up the chance from the penalty spot. But what's happening there with Danny Rowles? That three at the back, maybe a bit more secure. Has that been the main difference for you, Rangers fans? Do give us a call. What a night it was in Paisley. I could barely keep up with it. At one point, Hearts were stretching their lead, and then they weren't, and St Mirren felt hard done by with a disallowed goal that would have seen them go 3-1 in front. Hearts then get their own goal disallowed right at the end when it looked like they would win it. So loads to get through there. Motherwell fans, I assume you two are well set up for this weekend's League Cup semi-final. Quite a, not comfortable as such, but straightforward enough win against Dundee United, and loads more to get through. So give us a call on 01419511025. It is of course Thursday, but let's pretend it's Monday, because we had something resembling a full fixture card last night. So it's only fair we dish out some awards to put the callers in the mood. What was your result of the night, Gordon?
Yeah, a lot of good results. You touched on there, Rangers for instance. I thought Motherwell were brilliant, but I'm going to go for Aberdeen.
Ooh.
I think they need a wee boost. They needed a result at Robbie Park last night, Gordon. They're fighting very hard down the bottom of the league. I don't think it was pretty second half. The one thing I do like about them was they threw every bit of their body in the way to stop Kilmarnock scoring, got their 3 points, went up the road. They'll be delighted with that. So I will award it to Aberdeen because they've not had a lot of good nights lately.
Ross McCormick, your result of the night?
You touched on it there. I'm going to go Rangers. I think back-to-back wins now, a little bit more positivity, within the camp. Never an easy place to go, Easter Road. I thought they dealt with it extremely well.
Okay, I'm liking your options for this next category. Goal of the evening, what are you going for?
Yeah, I'm going to Fir Park. I thought two terrific goals. One a sort of a team goal, the first one, but Elliot Watt for me. What a finish. It kills off Dundee United's challenge. They were trying.
Great goal, wasn't it?
Oh, it's a brilliant goal. And it's first, I'm led to believe it's his first goal for the club. So what a confidence booster that's going to give him going into a massive game on Saturday. So my goal of the night, Elliot Watt.
What a signing he's been as well. Someone who couldn't necessarily do much at St Johnstone last season. Looks like an absolute revelation in that Motherwell midfield. Ross, you had some good choices. What's your goal of the night?
Yeah, good choices. Honourable mention for Lunda Lou.
Yep.
For St Mirren. Great goal. But I'm going to stay in the same game. I'm going to give it Danilo. Pass was a little bit behind him from Chermiti. So he's had to check his run. He's hit it with his left foot. Good first touch. Hit it with his left foot. Back across the keeper, great goal.
I've got to say,
poor Dan Lindelöf. Overhead kick doesn't even get you goal of
the
night anymore.
I know.
This is a tough school.
There's a few good goals out there last night.
There was. Right, go on, let's bring it down. Let's get the negativity out there. What was your howler of the evening?
Right, I'm going down the M8 to Roscoe's game, Hibs and Rangers. Great opportunity for Hibs to get something out of the game. Penalty kick. Jamie McGrath, you were thinking really steady, but did Butland get the better of him because of he'd saved one when he was at Aberdeen as well? And he already thought to himself, right, it's mind games. Obviously, Butland won the mind games. Boyle's hit a few penalties. So for that reason alone, I'm giving it to Jamie.
Have you seen Jack Butland's recent penalty record?
Yeah, 6 out of 7.
That's outrageous.
Yeah.
I need the stats boffins out there to tell me, when was the last time a goalie saved 6 out of his last 7 penalties?
Brilliant,
not including shootouts. That seems extremely high. Did they not, what's the general percentage? You know, about 75% of penalties go in, I think, roughly something like that.
Yeah, you would think so, but it's got to be something to do with his aura. I don't know what it is. I think if you're stepping up and you know fine well that Jack's made, what was it, five out of six saves,
at that point,
it does put a little bit of doubt in your head, doesn't it?
Okay, howler of the night for Gordon's, Jamie McGrath's penalty miss. Ross McCormick, what was yours?
He's actually took mine, to be honest. Got to go the disallowed goal at St Mirren. Changed the course of the game. I think it'd have been home and dry at 3-1. As it then played out, Hearts probably a little bit disappointed it didn't actually go on and win the game.
So not enough interference with Lauren Shankland for you? Because it was another annoying side of VAR is sometimes you don't really quite know what's going on and people are saying, well, why was that? So that, in essence, Mark O'Hara is offside.
Yeah.
Or he's in an offside position, And although he's not interfering with the ball, he's adjudged to have interfered with Lauren Shanklin and stopped him or impeded him getting back to defending. Not for you.
But very soft.
Yeah.
Very soft, I thought. And also, I thought, it felt like it took forever VAR to reach a decision.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
I'm sure I can see both sides of the argument, right? I had an argument, well, not an argument discussion today with Faddy, but he went for, correct decision.
He went correct decision, did he?
I thought it was a like Roscoe. I said, man, we're a bit hard on to.
And last but not least, Ross McCormick, your top man, top performer of the evening.
I've just looked over at Dazzle's sheet and he's got the same as me, so I'm going to have to change. I'll leave that one to him. I'm going to go Johnny Kenny, being a striker, probably come in for a little bit of criticism. Is he good enough? Is he not? Two goals, Martin O'Neill's comeback, great night for him.
Well, I was going to go Johnny Kenny myself, but I thought to myself, there are only one guy that beat him by a country mile last night, a country mile, man of the moment, Danilo's dad. I've got to say, he really enjoyed his game of football at Easter Road last night. Loved watching him, great entertainment, and delighted for him. And his boy gets the goal that gives Rangers 3 points. So, well done, Danilo's dad. You are the man of the night.
Feel free to call us Mr. Danilo. Don't think that's the way it works. If you're out there, we'd love to hear from you and the journey you've been on. But anyway, loads of football to look back on from last night. And don't forget, every caller who makes it on air tonight has the chance to win tickets to Ayr Racecourse's sensational Saturday. And tonight, we've upped the ante. It's tickets for the Legends Lounge, the Parade Ring marquee, overlooks the Parade Ring, of course, table for the day, private bar, private betting facilities, a welcome drink, all that sort of stuff. All you need to do is call and make a point to the panel and you get in the hat. So seems like a win-win situation all round. Let's bring in Stevie, who's a Celtic fan. What jumped out from last night, Stevie? Are you of an age that seeing Martin O'Neill jumping around the touchline filled you with great joy?
I'm 65, so definitely. Well, basically, for me, Brendan Rodgers was always complaining about the quality of the squad and all the rest of Ferrari 700s and all that sort of nonsense. But he wasn't playing the players in the right position, and then, you know, he wasn't getting the best tune out of the team. Martin O'Neill's come in and immediately dropped Hatate, who's been dreadful for months, and basically said, Negan's not a right winger, we're playing him as a 10, we'll put James Forrest on, reliable right winger, we'll give him as many minutes as da-da. And you see the difference right away, and Negan's creating goals, he's scoring goals. So it's dead obvious, put round holes and round pegs and etc. instead of square holes and round pegs, blah, blah, blah. That was the main difference. But my main concern here is the wingers. We are going to end up, we've not really got a right winger, apart from James Forrest. We've got four left wingers. I mean, Jota comes back. I'm looking at Tanetke, who looks sensational, and he's going to really, you know, back confidence and his goal will be in the hem and tear defences up. And then I look at Balakrisha, and he's a polar opposite. The guy's scared to take a man on.
Yeah, look, let's go through it bit by bit. Stevie's covered some good ground. Gordon, first and foremost, that must take you went up against Martin O'Neill 20 odd years ago.
2000 odds.
And there he is, with the boots on, the trackies on, brilliant, the socks tucked in. Look, he even managed it. Hugh Keevans doubted it the other night. He managed a wee jump.
Did he?
When the goal went in.
I am a massive fan of Martin O'Neill. He was very good to me when I was a manager. He walked into my dressing room after a semi-final and congratulated every one of my players, my staff and everything for their efforts. Okay, we lost it. It's easy to do that, Martin. but I'm delighted to see him back. I just think he brings a bit of character. I think Celtic needed a lift under Brendan Rodgers. It was getting a bit stale. Brendan looked a bit bored of it. His players were all off it. Okay, look, let's not get carried away here. You would expect Celtic to go and beat Falkirk comfortably, in my opinion, especially at Celtic Park. But I think the style of football, I think the pace of the game, the way they played, Johnny Kenny looked like he was getting criticised, thinking he's never a man to lead the line. All of a sudden, he gets two goals. Negan, see, for me, the amount of chances that he's had, he could be... And 20 goals has been the amount of chances he's had. I watched him in Europe as well. He missed about four or five before he scores. He gets into great positions. He's not the best finisher I've ever seen. But I just think Martin O'Neill changed one or two things last night in approach. New manager, and obviously Sean Maloney there as well, new coaching staff. It just seemed to give the players a bit of a lift, a bit of freedom, a bit of enjoyment. And obviously out in the comfortable winners.
Do you think it did, Ross? I mean, I just to do the devil's advocate thing, the Celtic, It's not like Celtic were incapable of beating Falkirk under Brendan Rodgers. I know they've had bad results, but that still could have happened. You know, but you're looking for that, those real differences. Is there anything? Is it possible to change it in a day? Is it just an atmosphere? Is it just a mood thing? Is it just a sort of motivational thing? What jumped out?
I tell you what, Gordon, I done a live podcast a few months ago with Martin O'Neill. Very rare I'm starstruck. Martin O'Neill walked into the building, I didn't know what to say. It's just his aura.
It's like when you met George Bowie in
here. Yeah, basically, yeah, that's another one. It's just his aura. Now, he didn't have enough time to change, obviously, how they play, what have you, what do you have, one training session.
He won, but none, he wasn't there.
But him walking into that changing room, them guys, pretty quickly would have realised, all right, okay, we're playing today. We are got to be on it. And that's I think, that, for me, that's the biggest thing that we'll have over the Celtic squad. It's not to say he's a better manager than Brendan Rodgers, but I think it's just that, how do you say it, that aura about him, the way he'll make the players feel, I think it'll be different.
Do you think you could see that, Stevie? Was it, I don't know, what did it look a bit more intense?
The horseshoe football, the possession-based thing. You can have all the possession in the world you want, you still get beat 1-0. It looked as if they were really going for it last night and it was pushing forward. I really like Saracchi as well, by the way. I mean, he was then running down like, you know, Usain Bolt in the wing half the time and really keen and enthusiastic and you know, up for it. So we need, as everybody knows, all the Celtic players, all of them, including the keeper, have been off it for a while and we need them back on it because we are in a title race.
Yeah, it was important last night, Gordon, to win the game. Celtic would have been massive favourites anyway, no matter who was in charge. But all of the sort of negativity from the last few days, then that mixture of emotions with for those fans who are happy to see Martin O'Neill in that regard, it would have been unthinkable for Celtic not to get through it. So to come through it, get through it well, get Johnny Kenny goals, get Daizen Maeda back.
Yeah.
You know, he obviously did tweak the team a bit.
Yeah,
but three of the back four. Mm-hmm. You know, no Dane Murray after Tynecastle, no Colby Donovan.
I thought his decisions were right, and I remember sitting here last week, and Hugh was in the studio, and Hugh made a great point about it. I went the fact that I thought Rodgers would go with Dane Murray at Tynecastle, and he eventually did. But Hugh was right. If you look at the performance with Trusting Scales, Atalanta away from home, they were absolutely brilliant together, and you're thinking, why is he not looking at that and going with that sort of... Because they got a clean sheet that night. Look, Ross was right. Martin O'Neill would just have added a bit of character freshness. He'd have been round about the players. He would have been making them feel brilliantly. I think it would have been disappointing for Celtic just to maybe win 1-0 last night. The fact that they've won 4, you looked at some of the players back to their best, the sharpness of balls getting moved quicker, more direct, and that's what you're going to get under Martin.
I think it was noticeably more, because I'm trying to sort of, you're trying to imagine what it, because Stevie says, you know, horseshoe football, possession based, but sometimes that happens if other teams are hard to break down, and Falkirk weren't hard
Falkirk
to break
come
down.
And play. But the one thing where I'll say, Gordon, and I noticed it at the weekend, we're talking about Dane Murray, right? I've never seen a player get the ball, and every time he got the ball, he passed it back to Schmeichel. In the full game, he passed it back, and I couldn't believe that a player of Celtic's quality kept passing the ball back instead of driving in and trying to make things happen.
You've seen Malakusha?
Well, he's a different kettle of fish.
What do you make of Stevie's concerns on that? Still, James Forrest played. Does he still remain, after all of this, and the age and the limitations, is he still the kind of the safest bet there at the moment?
Well, Brendan kept telling us that one or two couldn't play in the right hand side, right? You wonder if Martin O'Neill is about to challenge it and maybe say, for instance, he can't leave out Johnny Kenny for the semi final. And I'm not saying Johnny Kenny's the most important player, but the young lads come in there under a new regime. He scored 2 goals. He's got to start the game. Maeda, maybe wide, but Forrest, he likes Forrest.
Thank you very much to Stevie. Lee is also a Celtic fan. What jumped out for you last night, Lee?
Hi guys, nice to speak to you. I was at the game last night, and I just heard you saying, Gordon, what could they possibly do in a couple of days? I think Martin O'Neill's touched on it. They were a lot more direct. I noticed 3 or 4 times in that first half, the diagonal, and try to get Tynecki in over the top. Forrest put in 2 or 3 crosses early on, so there's a clear indication that they're saying, you know, if you look, we don't want to look too far back at Rodgers and the stats, but a lot of passing side to side and building the game and going back to the defensive area and then coming forward again, trying to draw the team out. This was all sort of a kind of cross between O'Neill back in his early days with his team and a bit of Ange, where it was get the ball forward. I think some of the stats I've seen today where it was the most long balls that Celtic have played in a number of games. So there was a tweak there. What I also liked about the set was he left McGregor and Ingles to kind of dictate midfield in a bit of a deeper position, and he let Ingram go forward. Mm-hmm. Like Gordon said at the start, he could be on. I mean, some of the chances, you know, if he puts that one in against Hearts, you might be looking at a different game. There was also one last night. He rounded the keeper instead of just putting his foot through it. So there was positives there. I'm not saying it's, you know, going to change the season. It's early doors, and like you say, Falkirk really struggled. I thought they had a good shape and they moved the ball around well, but they didn't have a lot of a threat. But also, Schmeichel makes a brilliant save in the first 5-10 minutes. It could have been a different game to start with. So they eased into it, but there was little subtle changes. I think the big thing for Sunday will be, I noticed Rangers had went to a 3 at the back last night. So is that how they're going to play on Sunday? Our big thing will be getting the ball forward and making Rangers run and face the other way. So if we can do that, you know, Johnny Kenny, brilliant, couple of goals. He's not the answer for me, but you've got to look at what we have in options at the moment. Maeda only got 20 minutes. He still looks off it. A big decision from O'Neill and Maloney was taking Hatate out, who, if you speak to a lot of Celtic fans, has been needing to be dropped for a while now. So there were some early indications that they've made some changes. Nothing, you know, groundbreaking, but, you know, look at a difference. I don't think I watched that game last night and thought, you know, kind of under your breath going, oh, you know, that sort of noise when the ball goes back the way. So it was a bit more urgency about it, and I think that's how we need to start the game on Sunday, because there's obviously been some changes with Rangers, and they've got themselves kind of organised at least. So I hope it'll be a better game than it was a few weeks ago to watch anyway.
Such is the nature of this relationship, we don't really know how much of that was Martin O'Neill and how much was Sean Maloney. Did Martin O'Neill give Sean Maloney the vision and say, listen, I want this to be a bit more direct, so can you instruct that? Because Sean Maloney took training the day before the game. Martin O'Neill wasn't up yet. So we spoke before about, Ross, you're talking about aura and maybe motivation and personality and Martin O'Neill providing that side of things. Tactically, I think it probably came from Sean Maloney, but then again, we don't know. You don't know what goes on behind closed doors.
But listen, Martin O'Neill is a manager that, and people go, oh, 73, dinosaur, football. Football's coming back to sort of a look into the older, you know, a long throw and two up front now, and the way the teams are getting the ball forward quicker and everything. Martin O'Neill, that's his style of play. Sean Maloney is a clever coach. He would have known the Celtic fans have turned off with the way the style is, everything going back the way. So between the two of them, they've figured it out and they've got a great result.
Wee quick personnel one that I thought was interesting is Callum Osmond came on, signed in the summer.
Yeah, and looked all right.
Not played at all under Brendan Rodgers. It just felt like, not a statement as such, but just a nod to something slightly different. Anyway, thank you to Lee from Bigger. He goes into the hat for the Legends Lounge tickets to Ayr Races. You could join him. All you have to do is make a point to the panel. What about Easter Road last night? What impressed you, Rangers fans? What still needs improving? Let's go through that one when we return.
Time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Ross McCormick and Gordon Dieler here, reflecting on a busy old night in the Scottish Premiership. We are here until 8 o'clock, so let's try and get through as many of the talking points as we can. And if we've not got to yours yet, don't worry, we'll try our best. Or you call us and change the subject. Let's go to, well, I was going to say go to Easter Road. That's not strictly true, but you know what I mean. James is a Rangers fan. James, what is jumping out at you from Rangers at the moment?
They're a lot better organised, and the players seem to be wanting to play for the club now for me. I thought last night was what a turnaround, and that's only been, 8 or 9 days now that Danny Rowe's been in. I will say that he wasn't my number one pick, however, the guy's starting to grow on me now. I like the way he speaks, and I like the way he's actually got the players that I thought were maybe, I'd have maybe sent back, like your Mikey Moores and stuff like that. I wasn't really impressed by him. Last night, I thought our boy had a really, really good game. I thought Conor Barron was absolutely head and shoulders above anybody else in that part last night. I thought the boy controlled everything. He seemed to break everything up for us. He was starting things. I've always liked Barron as a player, but for me, I think there's good things coming for this Rangers team now. Like I say, Danny Rowe wouldn't have been my first pick, however. He's starting to show that he's obviously starting to get a tune out of these players, and I would like to come back with something else saying regarding the game. I know, guys, if
I had a wee internal bet as to what words were going to be used to describe Rangers, and I was absolutely certain that organised would be top of it. You know, we've all got our opinions, we all see different things. It just feels abundantly clear that whilst there's still loads to go, they look so much better organised, don't they?
I think they change the shape. It certainly helps them at the back. The only problem I worry sometimes is if they get caught with the counter attack down the flanks, they seem to struggle with that. Yeah. But yeah, I think they look a lot better. Do you know what I like about this guy coming in? It's early days, right? I like the fact the way he spoke at his press conference. He got it right away. He's not talking about style of play and how he's got to play and what football or brand. He was talking about, I have to win games. And he's 100% right. He's got to win games. And his league, obviously, he's got off to a good start. He made 5 changes against Kilmarnock. He had a lot of big hitters on the bench. It'll be interesting to see, one, will he stick with the formation of the back three against Celtic? Who will he bring in? Who will he leave out? Because I think going away to Hibs last night was not about performance. It was about picking up 3 points. Hibs were in a good run. Good side. Dangerous side. They were at home. They'd have fancied it. But it was all about winning. And you're right, sometimes when a new manager comes in, a player just comes from nowhere. Look at Danilo. Danilo just now, for me, was third, fourth striker under Russell Martin. I think he's number one pick now.
Wow.
Right? I do. Because I'm looking at Chermiti, who, big, strong, still not doing it for me.
You've seen a bit more from him, though.
I'll give him that. Majovski, I've not seen anything in Majovski just now. Danilo's goal last night, now, he took him off at half-time, whether that was for Sunday, whether that was a knock, or whether he wanted to go and stand with his dad and dance the rest of the night away. I don't know. But Danilo looked sharp, and his goal was brilliant. And do you know the worrying thing? I heard about the programme with Alec Ray on it last night, and I heard Neil McCann, both that worked inside Ibrox, and they say the same thing. Danilo was the best finisher.
Yeah, Alex said that a couple of months ago when he was on. It's kind of stuck with me. Ross, organisation, is that the main thing Danny Rule's brought? Because we always talk about, I mean, they've had midweek games, so he's not really going to have had much time in the training ground. You're not going to see this completely different swashbuckling style, but you probably can be organised, and that looks like the priority just now.
Looks like it, yeah. And Gordon says there, you go back to his first interview, he did sort of reference style and stuff, but the main thing was that when you first come in, you've got to get wins. That then gives you time to implement some sort of style. He's found a formation and a style right now that does make them hard to get through. He saw it last night with Hibs. The amount of times Hibs were just going side to side, Rangers were just in a shape very, very happy for them to do that. Whether moving forward with the bigger tests that are going to come, whether they'll be able to play that formation, I'm not so sure. But right now, it's certainly a good starting point.
How important is Jack Butland's penalty capabilities at the moment, James? Because, look, we're all fickle. That penalty goes in, Rangers drop points again. We're probably not as complimentary. And, you know, you're looking at being even further behind and all that. For him to have saved 6 in his last 7, I know he's not flawless at the moment, but that's some record, isn't it?
And it bodes well, obviously, if it goes to penalty kicks on Sunday. I'm hoping that it won't. I'm hoping that we've got it done and dusted before penalty kicks, because this old heart can't take it at the moment. So, no, I'm very, very impressed with him. He's had a couple of howlers, but he's a top keeper. He is a top class keeper, and he proves that for us, and he saved us last night again for me. So, I'll no fault by Jack Ingles.
What else was on your mind? Anything else that jumped out?
It was just the absolute blatant dive for Kieran Bowie last night. I think the boy should be embarrassed. He gets touched on the chest by the left back, and he goes down as if he's been actually shot. Somebody shot him for the stands. I think I don't know what else to say, but apart from just blatant, I'm not going to say, you know, the obvious word here, but he goes down so easy. And that could have caused our left back to get another yellow card and possibly been sent off, and then we couldn't appeal that. And I think the SFA should be looking at that, because it was just an absolute... The boys should be embarrassed.
Look, I do agree. I hate it. It's a part of football I hate. But let me tell you now, he's not the only player that does it. Right?
Remember Bran last week as well in the European game?
Yeah, you could maybe look at... I know James is a Rangers supporter. You could look at one or two Rangers players that tend to go down very easily. I think there's players in other teams that tend to go down very easily, Gordon. It's just the way. But Bowie, who I think's a very good talent, the one thing that I'm very disappointed with him, for me, he's the only centre-forward I know. He's a Scottish internationalist now. He's the only centre-forward I know that doesn't play in the box. He plays everything with Hibs outside the box, and Hibs tactics to get the ball in the box, he's never there.
Remember the big clamour on here for Kieran Bowie to lead the line for Scotland over in Denmark.
Kieran Bowie is not at that level to lead the line for Scotland.
I wonder if we... Listen, he was good at
the... He's a good player.
And he had started the season well, but hindsight 2020, it now just feels like, right, we've now seen a bit more of him, and to realise that all those calls for him to lead the line in Denmark that night were probably a wee bit premature.
The point I'm trying to make to James is, look, yes, you can have a look, but every team will have a player that, you know, a Hibs supporter can come on here and say, well, look at IE that with Rangers, he goes down very easy. Look at so-and-so with Celtic. Every team's got them. I don't like it, but every team's
Kyle
got
them. Kyle Lafferty not go down very easily with Charlie Mulgrew?
No.
Years ago they went head to head.
Big Charlie had his driver out that day. It was ridiculous.
James, thank you very much. What about John in Maryhill? John, are you starting to see a bit more of a sort of steeliness about this Rangers team that you like?
Yeah, hi. Good evening, guys. Yep, a wee bit more well organised, I would say. A wee bit more of a bit of a dig, and is a wee bit hungrier. As we were saying earlier on, if you were to ask, it's maybe 4, 5, 6 weeks ago, going to Hibs and getting the result, they probably laughed. So, very encouraging to move forward for the semi-final on Sunday.
That bit about being hard to beat, does that almost give you like extra satisfaction at the moment, John, just because it's really been the main thing that's been missing? Look, there wasn't much in it last night, as we said. We clearly could have been sitting here talking about a draw, but the fact that somehow Rangers have gone from being really fragile to managing to kind of grind out results almost. I know that's not where you want to be in the end, but for now, I'd imagine that's the bit that's impressing you.
To know what goes on at the training ground, but obviously there's something different. They seem to have more of a shape, as I'm saying. Seem to be working harder. It seems to be a bit of a kind of a winning mentality that we're seeing. So there is definitely something going on. And I suppose you've got to take credit to the new manager coming in. So he's looking at things differently. As I said a couple of weeks ago when I was on the show, this guy is meant to be getting a bit of press. Dean Windass was singing his praises. So, look... it's came at a good time for us. We can't get any worse than what we've got on. Plus, when you've got Danilo's dad in the stand, maybe a few of the other players' dads might come along and maybe get a better tune out of them on. They all can run about the bottom bit of the stand, eh?
I loved that.
I just knew that would be right up your street. It's a sort of simple mind.
He
no
became an instant hero of mine. Just sitting there, I thought to myself, "Go on yourself." I really loved that.
I would love to see how many steps he had.
It was great when he had the big flag.
How heavy did it look?
It was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
In fact, Craig says, what impressed me about Easter Road? I'll tell you, Danilo's da dancing. There we go. Danilo's da dancing. That's what impressed me. Superb viewing. Football wise, considering Rangers' recent dramas, the first to beat Hibs at home domestically in 15 games. I'm seeing the likes of Conor Barron getting some praise. John, he's suspended over the weekend, can't play. Jack Butland obviously saves a penalty. What are the bits that aren't quite working yet, or the individuals that you still feel you need to see more from?
I don't want to be too negative, but I still don't really fancy Aaron's at the back. Quite a kind of weak link. Up front, okay, you were saying earlier on, Danilo's allegedly best scorer in training, but we don't see. Obviously, the guy's had a couple of horrendous injuries. I'm not really firing all cylinders. Personally, I would never have got shot at Dessers at the time. That was a bit very strange one. So we need to work what we've got, and hopefully the manager will get the best out of what we've got to work with moving forward.
Yeah, well, time will tell. Big game at the weekend, of course, as well. They come thick and fast. Thank you very much to John Higgins in the hat for the tickets to the races as well. Legends Lounge at Ayr tonight. It's a good prize at this one, and all you need to do is make a point to the panel, so certainly worth doing either way. 01419511025. What about this before we go any further?
Oh my god.
Make me a winner at Halloween. Clyde One.
See, just thinking about it being Halloween tomorrow, just to let you know, everybody who's listening, and pass this on to all your family and friends in the Lanarkshire area, Gordon Deal will be in. Right? So don't fall for it. I don't care if his lights are out or his curtains are closed. He'll be in. Chat the door, the letterbox, doorbell, just keep going. And he'll be in there. He's got loads of sweets and stuff. He's told me he's desperate to give them away. So make sure you stay at him. However, to mark Halloween, how does this sound? £666,000 in your account if you win Make Me a Winner. For £2.50 plus your standard network rate, you get 15 entries by texting YES to 61025. You get 100 entries into the draw by texting BANK to 61025. Texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. Or call 03434 269 340 and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only. The online entry and all the rules for this network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. Lines close 5 p.m. tomorrow, so don't hang around. Text YES to 61025.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Ross McCormick are here. It's 01419511025. Let's start getting some managerial reaction, but keep the calls flowing in. Loads of time. We're here till 8 o'clock, so let's go round the other games as well. Get the calls over to us. Let's hear from Martin O'Neill. Let's hear Martin O'Neill's thoughts on his side's win at Celtic Park. The type of thing that would have been said in 2002. There we go. We even jumped the gun because somebody's so excited to hear from him. Let's do it.
I have not been as nervous since I did 11 plus. Concerned about the game, naturally. Concerned about the usual thing about letting myself down, which I've done so many times untrue, but letting other people down here at the football club. Just coming in, a bit of a whirlwind. I have to say it was the most surreal feeling in the world. To win tonight was the most important thing. Playing the manner which we did, which I thought was great, and obviously the most important thing was winning the game. Naturally, I couldn't be more pleased. I thought the players did really brilliantly. I know the confidence has been a wee bit low, and that's the most natural thing in the world, and it's even for the very, very best side. If you're not getting a result, confidence does. I'd said to him that we have quite a number of winners in the dressing room, and that's really important.
What about Scott in Canvas Lang? What's your take on it last night, Scott?
Hi, Gordon. Or two Gordons. Hi, Ross. How are you doing? All right.
Good, thank you.
Yeah, and yes, Gordon, I am at that age where I remember my name on the first one before you ask that question. No, I was at the game last night, Gordon, right, and what a total, the atmosphere was so different, right? Players playing in the right position as they should be playing, thrusty, all right, he made a couple of mistakes, but I thought he was great last night. James DeForest coming in, you know, just the fight in the team altogether. Callum McGregor, the ball went out for a shy, and Callum McGregor shouting at all the players to move. You know, you could actually hear him. And you knew it was coming, you knew the goals were coming, and you just, you know, when you sat in the Brendan's team, as I've been on the phone before, back to the keeper and whatever else, that did happen, but not much last night. But it was just so different. The football was so different. Just attacking, making sure the ball was going forward, and constantly, you know, as soon as the go at the ball, the head was up and it was looking forward 90% of the time. And Martin O'Neill's only been here for 24 hours, and he's a man manager, right? He knows. And when the boys were going to have the part last night at the end of the game, he gave everybody a hug, right? You know, whatever he said to them or whatever. He's a total man manager. That's what he is. You know, brings a good feel, the feeling back. It's not perfect, but hey-ho, as I say, he's been there for 24 hours.
I think it was a good one for Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney last night, right? And we're not being disrespectful to Falkirk, of course we're not, but you'd expect with the squad Celtic have got at Celtic Park to go and win that. Look, it was easy in the sense that they knew the Celtic fans were not happy with the brand of football, knew the way the players were going about their business. They tweaked one or two things, probably telling players, look, if it's on, we have to go back, keep the possession. Of course, that is modern day football. But let's try and look forward quicker. Let's get the movement. And the players responded to that. They really did. And as I say, to win 4-0 and then still a clean sheet as well. But the big test will come at Hampden for me at the weekend. It'll be interesting to see how they handle it.
We probably do need a bigger sample, Scott, on Ross. You can only go on what you've seen so far. Clearly much better. Clearly fans like Scott will be happy. It would be interesting to see when you get teams who sit in that kind of proper low block, that's when you sometimes have to come back out and go sideways and go round the other side, then try and then come. That's why that happens. Teams don't really, you know, that's always been the biggest challenge, is to break teams down. Falkirk probably, I'm not saying played into Celtic's hands, but there was scope to go over the top. You know, you look at Tanetki's goal. It's one thing saying, oh, well done Celtic for getting the ball forward quicker, but you can't do that if Falkirk are sitting on, oh, you know, all sitting in the back of their 18-yard line.
Yeah, it's got to be on. But what Martin O'Neill might do, though, is, and we haven't seen it, there might be a little bit of a personnel change against blocks like that, where he might just put a bigger player up there. You've seen it in the past when they had Larson, Sutton, they would hit them and play off of that, but for me, watching it last night, I think the biggest thing is you put Negrin inside and you play James Forrest. It doesn't matter to me what anyone says. James Forrest, regardless of his age or regardless what people think of him, is still Celtic's best right winger.
But the only thing I'll say to that, I know what you're saying, that's the way Martin plays. Martin likes a big physical team. That's why he was so successful. And then he blends that in with the guys like Larson and people like that, Petrov, that can absolutely destroy teams. But you said there he might just put, I don't think he's got the personality to put another physical one. He's not got that. Johnny Kenny's about the only one. You're right, Gordon. I think Falkirk, and give them all the credit in the world, their football side, they're not going to change. John McLennan's been very successful. He's doing okay in the league. He's been absolutely brilliant for them. They have a brand of football. And last night, it was a sort of a open game, and it suited Celtic to a T. It was a good, good night for Celtic.
I mean, Scott, we saw change in the back line. I appreciate we've got hindsight and people clearly think that, you know, Dane Murray maybe shouldn't have played at the weekend. Austin Trustee, is that the partnership to go forward now, Trustee and Scales, while Carter Vickers is out?
Sorry, Tom, to me, sorry.
Yeah, sorry, Scott, yeah.
100%. You know, look at pre-season when, you know, with them were away. Trustee was excellent. You know, then all of a sudden he was dropped, Gordon, right? So I'm no dissing Scales, I'm no dissing any Celtic player, right? But the other Gordon, you were saying about the low block and whatever else, but that's why wingers are there. Wingers are there to break that low block. That's what you got them there. But if you're playing people in the right position, they're not going to do that. Hence the reason why James Forrest came on last night, because he's a right winger, to try and break that low block. Then you've got the other winger scores. You know, so it comes to the point where it's not the point of the way, obviously, all the players are there. It was the fight. it was that was different last night. You know, it was they wanted to do it. That you know, we're coming forward quicker.
But you know, Scott, see, being a Celtic fan, that alarms me a little bit there, right? I don't care who the manager in the dugout is for Celtic or Rangers or any club. You're talking about, you're saying the players, the fight. Should that not be a gimme if you're putting on a Celtic jersey?
But Gordon, you need to look at it, right? So, you know, when Brendan Rodgers was there, right, a lot of the times it was going side to side. And I know what you're saying about teams coming to Celtic Park and playing the low block. I totally understand that, and sometimes that has to happen. But that was happening consistently. That was to happen just once in a blue moon. That was happening for the majority of the game, every game. And it got boring, Gordon.
Oh, listen, I'm with you, Scott, because I highlighted Dane Murray, and I'm not picking on the lad at Tynecastle. I've never seen a player pass the ball back to a goalkeeper in any game in my life. And I thought, my God, there any chance you've got to look forward? Where I've picked you up there is not the style of football, but you're saying the fight last night was a lot better than the desire. Surely it doesn't matter who's in the dugout. That's a gimme for you.
You'll know, Ross. That's just not. That's the cruel bit about football management. Is everything kind of is your fault? Everything's your responsibility. So people might say that you're not getting that out of the players, as is what's clearly been alleged towards Brendan Rodgers.
Yeah, well, that argument's been there for quite some time now with Brendan, hasn't it? That he's not getting the best out of that group. And I think it's absolutely spot on. He didn't. He should have been getting more out of that group. But what Scott's saying there about the fight and the effort and stuff, Gordon, that should be. It should be a given when you're a Celtic or a Rangers or at any club. If you're lucky enough to be a professional footballer, that should be a given. But we all know it's not. We all know it's not. And then all of a sudden when it comes back, it's so obvious for everyone
There were a different energy about Celtic last night, and the players and and the fans, every fan that you've heard of and I spoke to really enjoyed it. They really enjoyed it. And it's just tweaking one or two things. I do disagree that sometimes you go, well, the fight was a lot better. It probably wasn't. It was just the way that they were allowed to go and express herself and play, and that would all have been down to Martin O'Neill in that dressing room making his players feel brilliantly and getting them out in that part and going and playing.
But thanks. Brendan Rodgers isn't asking him to pass the ball back to the goalkeeper, though, is he? That's a player's decision on the pitch.
100%, and that's why I said about Dane Murray. But I just think that when it boils all down, Gordon, I think that the choice of the changing of the manager and everything, what happened over the last few days, I think it's been a good thing for Celtic. I think there's a freshness in there now. I think Martin O'Neill will settle everything down. But we could be back to Monday with the Celtic fans on here not happy.
There's still a bigger picture. Dermot Desmond was at the game last night. Yeah. Very rarely appears. There were still protests outside the door at 7 o'clock.
Yeah,
there was still a chance of sack the board. So results are always the most important thing, though, aren't they, inside the stadium. Thank you very much to Scott on the line. He's in the hat for the tickets to Air Races, and we're just going to try and give away something else right now. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Ross is second bottom, apparently. He's in the playoff spot.
I should probably have stayed off until after seven.
Oh, I thought that's what you'd have done. I thought he'll be in here about 7:05.
Gordon DL won the other night, so we'll see if he can carry on his winning run. Give us a call before 7 o'clock, please. 01419511025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Ross McCormick are here. There's still so much to get through from last night. St Mirren fans, Hearts fans, quite an action-packed evening in Paisley. We'd love to get your thoughts, so please give us a call. Gordon DL waxing lyrical about the quality of Motherwell's goals for Park, if you'd like to go there. And of course, Rangers and Celtic's managerial situation just pulling up a number of talking points. Danny Rule just in, what changes is he making? And Martin O'Neill back in the dugout. Plenty more to get through here until 8 o'clock, so give us a shout whilst we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, let's play Beat the Pundit with Brian in Hamilton. Brian, how are you?
How you doing, alright?
Yes, good, thank you. Would this be your debut?
Yes.
Good stuff. How do you usually get on at home?
Two or three.
You better hang up.
Jinky's going to need to up that. Jinky needs to up that. To
depends how he plays.
Yeah, I think Brian's playing it safe. Two or three. That's all right. That could win.
He might be lying though.
Okay. I don't think so. It doesn't sound confident.
We'll toss the coin, Brian. If it is the blue side of the coin, it will be Ross McCormick, and the red side, Gordon DL. So let's see how we go. And it is Gordon DL. Ross McCormick's off the hook. I'm pleased for you though. 3 hours 45 minutes for you to get here tonight.
Didn't need that, did I?
Nah, I was worried about you. You looked stressed when you came in, because you're like, you're one of the number one early pundits, I would say. Not that like disgraceful Marvin Bartley who rolls in last minute. You're always punctual. I was stressed for you.
Yeah, anyway, I was stressed for him.
I digress. Brian, you will take on Gordon DL, so let's give him some music to listen to so he can hear your answers. You have 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Okay.
Right, Brian, your time is on the clock and it starts now. Before last night, what year did Martin O'Neill last manage Celtic?
2000.
Name any Scot who scored in the Scottish Premiership last night.
No, Shetland.
What's the name of Forfar's ground?
Gave you.
Who missed Hibbs' penalty last night? In which SPFL league has there been the most goals this season?
Premier League.
Which Premiership manager was once on the books of Manchester United?
Repeat that, sorry.
Which Scottish Premiership manager was once on the books of Manchester United? Quick. 3, 2, 1.
They're on.
Okay, Gordon DL, can you hear us?
How long are you giving this guy?
Listen, can you hear that? It's a bad line.
A bad line?
Listen how loud it is. He couldn't hear me. I had to repeat one of the questions.
45 minutes. Well, 45 seconds. Right, come on now.
Okay, 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Before last night, what year did Martin O'Neill last manage a Celtic side?
2002.
Name any Scot who scored in the Scottish Premiership last night.
Pass.
What's the name of Forfar's ground?
Station Park.
Who missed Hibbs' penalty last night?
McGrath.
In which SPFL league has there been the most goals this season?
I would say second.
Which Premiership manager, Scottish Premiership manager, was once on the books of Manchester United?
Premiership manager in the books of who?
Man United.
I'm going to say Jim Goodwin. Okay. No idea.
He's got that down to a T, hasn't he? Asking the question again. He couldn't hear me.
The only thing is,
Scottish player.
The only thing is, this is what annoys me, because Brian did it as well, but I believed Brian because Brian's line was, but he does. If you listen back, right, somebody do a VAR check on this. He always asks me to repeat the question when he doesn't know the answer.
Not at all.
Yes, you do. It's constant. Anyway, how do you think it went, Brian?
Close, I think.
Yeah. Who have you got anyone in the car with you?
Yeah, Connor.
Oh, no, that's it. Void. You're out. You cannot have two playing one. It's no fair.
Just let me double check something. Did you hear Brian's attempts?
No.
Connor did not say a word. I could hear him chuckling. That's what made me ask.
He did not say a word.
That's okay.
Poor, innit?
Horrible effort from you. It's one of the worst performances I've ever seen. Before last night, in what year did Martin O'Neill last manage Celtic? None of you got it right, Brian. He arrived in 2000, but he left 2005.
Did he? So I just played against him too. That's how I went to.
None of you got it. Name any Scot who scored in the Premiership last night. Stuart Armstrong.
Sure he did.
Elliot Watt. Lawrence Shankland.
That's Scottish. I thought he was English.
No. Well, Stuart Armstrong and Shankland, both Scotland internationals.
Right, 1-0, okay.
So it's 1-0 to Brian. Is that Shankland top scorer in the league?
Yeah.
Did you not get the same as Braga?
Joint top, yeah. So. Oh, did you hear? Tell me you heard the Braga chant last night. You seen the video? You know, I play it all the time because I'm so fascinated by it. It was just, it was perfection from the Hearts fans last
night. Got off to a bad start here. Come on, I need that equaliser.
Forfar's ground is Station Park, so you have equalised. Brian was kind of rummaging around in the rough Angus area and gave me like a hybrid of Gayfield and something else, but it's Station Park. So it's 1-1. Jamie McGrath missed Hibbs' penalty. You both got it, so we are level. The Premiership manager who was once in the books of Man United...
I would have said Jim Goodman.
Would you?
As well.
David Gray. I thought that was quite well known.
So
obviously
is.
Not.
It is now.
I thought David, you used to be a singer.
No, David Gray is. That's the other one. Yeah, apologies.
Which means it all comes down to this question. Gordon.
Did I not get there?
Yeah, we've got another question, but it's 2-2 at the moment.
Did I get an answer?
So, yeah, in which SPFL league has there been the most goals this season? You said second. I don't really know what you mean by that. Do you mean Championship or League 2?
League 2.
Right. So not like this, because the second tier would be the Championship.
No, I'd say Championship.
Right, so League 2.
What were you edging me? I'm going League 2.
League 2 has got 151 goals so far this season. Brian, with his sidekick Connor, who didn't say anything, went for the Premiership, the top flight.
Yeah.
It's got 160. It is the Premiership.
Yes.
Brian and Connor, come on.
Right, Brian, who got that? You or Connor?
Connor didn't say a word, I'm telling you.
Obviously me.
I sure you did. Two again. I'm not having that.
I'll send you the clip. You can listen back.
Oh, why did I not say Shankland?
That's
or
poor. That's so, so poor.
And Armstrong was my favourite player.
I know. You've dropped him, I've noticed that.
I have dropped
You've
him.
You've dropped him spectacularly since he came back up the road. Anyway, Brian, who's your team?
Rangers.
Connor as well?
Right, yep.
What did you make last night? Pleased with that win?
Some difference, yeah.
What is the biggest difference?
Players don't like to play for the manager, I believe.
Yeah, again, I think was it Cornelius who saw it the weekend? And it kind of feeds actually into what we saw with Celtic. It's just mad that we're here. The first time they've ever both changed managers mid-season, and they did it before Halloween. Did he also say what we spoke about with Celtic? Oh, we're all running a bit harder now. And I know where you're coming from. You go, how can that be? Why are you not just running hard to begin with? But it does just look that way, Ross.
Yeah, I think it's just out in the organisation, Gordon. Right. They actually look like they know where they're running, what they're doing. Whereas there's no doubt in my mind they were still working hard under Russell Martin, but they just looked as if they didn't have a clue what they were doing. It was interesting you touched there on Cornelius. I just want to touch on that. How can a big strong centre-half go off with that? Do you think that was a big strong centre-half that had a little bit of on his head and he's having to go off?
You've probably got to take the advice of the physios, but
Ross McCormick slams medical science.
So does that mean he'll not be playing on Sunday then? If he's concussed?
He might miss the game. I do believe the new manager's gave him the new manager bounce, hasn't he? You know, he's looked at the first game in Europe, and then domestically they played well against Kilmarnock. I thought last night was going to be a difficult game. They do look a lot more organised. I think a lot of them now look like they know what, you know, the sort of patterns they play. I'll be interested to see his team. You know, he made five big changes. There was a lot of players there. You're thinking Tavernier, the captain.
He'll play, won't he?
I would imagine so. But I've heard some Rangers fans saying, you know, Tavernier when Tavernier come on, Rangers were worse, which I don't really buy into because I like Tavernier. I'm a big fan of Tavernier's, but he's certainly got a bit of belief back, not just within the players, but for me within the supporters as well.
Like, see, playing the back three and stuff, Brian. Do you think that's just a short term fix to try and just, you know, win games? It's not going to stay forever, is it?
Nah, I need to shore up the defence, soak shit up goals. That's what the next start anyway.
Well, it seems to be working, Hibs.
How do you get Gassama back into that team in a back three, back five, however you want to look at it? You can't play left wing back against Celtic, surely.
Definitely not.
No, but I think they've got a five at the back against Celtic.
Does he come back into the team then for you?
I thought last night, especially early on. That's why Hibs made the substitution. He was getting left one and one with Chris, and Cadden had already been booked. Mm-hmm.
Not made them, didn't he?
Yeah, and I agree with you. If he's going to get him in there, I thought Moore, as much as in the first, his positional play was causing Hibs lots of trouble. But when he's on the ball, so many times he carried the ball, you're looking and thinking, that's a young man that everybody thought was coming to Rangers, and all of a sudden the shackles are off and he started looking good.
Right, thank you very much to Brian and Connor. I'm telling you, he sat silently in the background.
I deserve to lose. Exactly. Imagine, Elliot, what was my goal of the night? Right, Shankland and Armstrong. I can't believe that. What was the other one? Premier League, was it Premier League?
Yeah, that's hard.
I bet I know the first guy that came into your head. Arfield.
No.
Because he loves
Does
him.
He not?
No, because I know he never scored.
But you would have just thrown him in.
This is true, right, as I'm sitting here. What came into my head, and I panicked because I thought he was English.
I'm the same as you. I thought he was English, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Alec is a St Mirren fan in Cardonald. There was quite a bit to get through from last night, Alec. I think I know where you might want to start, though.
Well, you know, for Gordon Ross, evening, gents, and yourself, Gordon, it was an outrageous decision last night that cost St Mirren the game. I think You go 3-1 up, 20 minutes to go. I'd say we'd see that game out and we'd win it. With a terrific performance. And overnight we've invented another offside. Impact offside was given last night for an alleged foul in Lorne Shanklin by Mark O'Hara. Now, you guys have seen it. I'm sure you've watched the TV last night. It's just outrageous. You know, there's an incident in the Kelly game I watched where the attacker is down in the box with more contact than O'Hara done, and the referee waved away a penalty. Yet, you know, the referee himself never gave the decision.
Yeah.
You know, it was pulled back by Nick Walsh, and there's no contact.
See, just on that point, just so that we know where we're going with this, Alec, because I'm not saying I disagree with you. Let me be very clear about that. But don't worry about the level of contact versus another, because this isn't given for a foul, right? So we're not really thinking of it in those terms, right? Mark O'Hara has not been penalised for a foul on Lauren Shankland. It is about, as Alec did quite rightly say, to be fair, impact and impeding. So Mark O'Hara standing in an offside position, undeniable, okay? Standing in an offside position is not a crime. You can stand there, that's fine, that's not an offence. It becomes an offence when, as we know, you touch the ball, or like you impact play, and in this occasion, apparently, when you impede someone. So did he impact Lauren Shanklin? Did he impact Lauren Shanklin's attempts to get to where he wanted to go? So that's the question. We're not necessarily trying to talk about normal foul contact here, but maybe I'm splitting hairs, just to make sure we know what the frame is. What do you think? Because Alex saying it's outrageous.
When I seen it, I was probably, you know, on the same side as Alex. I know that Hearts fans and everybody concerned in that side of the divide will probably go that, yeah, it is a foul. I thought...
Not a foul, though. Do you know what I mean?
It was the right decision, sorry. I thought it was very unlucky in St. Man. I did, Gordon. I don't know, does O'Hara do... Is Shanklin getting there? Has he done enough? Is it enough to say that he did impact him, stopping him getting to... I would see the arguments on both sides here, but me personally, I'd have probably let the goal stand, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I mean, Ross, it's... I think what's maybe... I'm not trying to make Alec feel better about this, but we just don't see the loads like this. So it's almost like hard to, you know, like we don't really have much to compare it to. It's not like every week goals get ruled out for stuff like this. So it seems quite rare. It seems like one of those things that, see if the goal just stands, does anybody care? Does anybody? And I know that's not the way you implement the rules, but Willie Collum, who obviously, you know, worked with and had on here, does talk about like a kind of football understanding. See if that goal stands. Does anybody care? No. I think the answer's no. And if the answer's no, maybe that tells you. But it's got... Yeah, on you go, Alec.
Yeah, I mean, Gordon, this is in the back of a decision at Dundee last week where we lost the first goal because they gave a foul for the goalkeeper picking the ball up outside the box. And actually, he picks the ball up on the line. And when you talk about impact offside, every single week we watch defenders with their arms wrapped round attackers, wrapped round them, pulling jerseys. Nothing happens. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Mark O'Hara must have blown Lorne Shanklin's face.
Yeah.
Because that's the nearest you were going to get to any impact in terms of offside. And the thing is, you know, we're up out of seats, you're celebrating. You don't get the chance nowadays to enjoy football. I think time's come and gone now for that. I think more people would want rid of it than would want to keep it. The benefits to having it are very, very few, especially when the referee has given the goal.
I think
it's the official that's pulling it back to get looked at.
I think, ironically, I don't think we'll ever get to a stage where you would ditch it for offsides because it's just too hard. For it. So ironically, if you were to strip it back, it might still get involved last night. So I don't know if it's the existence of VAR last night that's the issue. I think it's obviously a decision making process. Did those people make that decision correctly? So Lauren Shankland, look, he is clearly, how do I word this carefully, he's clearly impacted by Mark O'Hara in the sense that he has to move slightly.
Yeah.
But is that enough? That's the question.
That is the question. And obviously the people that make the decisions decide it was. For me, it wasn't. What I will say was, I looked at it and I'm thinking, what's going on here? And then eventually I was explained. But I watched when the ball went in the net and Shanklin was there. He puts his hand up and he looks at the line. Now, I'm thinking he's shouting offside.
Yeah.
I don't think he's shouting. I've just been impacted here.
I agree. I think he's appealing, but I don't think he's appealing for that.
Yes.
I think he's appealing for the goal scorer being offside. 100%. Or the initial header.
Yeah.
But Ross, it does feed into the kind of wider point Alex says. If we are going through goals with a fine tooth comb like this and the goals aren't standing, it just leaves everyone with a bad taste. Now, I also respect those who make the rules and whatever and say, well, look, if an offence occurs, an offence occurs, and you know, you've got to be consistent with it. But it just feels that bit of you inside you as a football fan, if you're having to watch the incident and squint your eyes and zoom in if you're watching it on your phone like I did, and go, what is it? What's happened there? That just feels wrong.
Clear and obvious was the term, wasn't it, that was brought in. Mm-hmm. To me, that wasn't. But see, by the letter of the law, it probably is a foul, right? But then you're saying
that's a problem. Yeah,
but you're saying that it's not been called back for a foul. So then the question that I ask is, okay, what level of contact does there have to be for it to be classed as impeding them? Because for me, there wasn't much at all.
Yeah. I suppose you're looking at, does he need to deviate? Is he run blocked? Is he held back? Those would be the questions, and I think for a lot of people, not enough.
Yeah, the big thing is, because Mark O'Hara's in an offside position, if he's onside, it's a goal.
If he's onside, it's a goal.
Right? It's because he's in his offside position. I don't think there's enough there.
So everybody, so it's never going to happen, but everybody'd stay onside.
I just think that the response of the player right away, and Shanklin, I watched him, and I think he was claiming for offside. Mm. I don't think he was talking about the incident.
Give us a bit in the game generally, Alex. I know it might not keep you happy because you felt you could have won it, but it was some game, wasn't it? Just so much drama and so much excitement.
It was a brilliant game, Gordon. There's been, I think, very few people last night giving St Mirren much chance. You know, we've had three defeats in a row. Hearts on a great run just now. But we opened up really well. Big Lulu's overhead kick, you know, that was a fantastic goal.
Ross McCormick didn't even give him goal of the night for that. I was astonished. He's proving to be quite a handful, isn't he?
Well, you know, we've got Mandron up front and Big Ayunga, and they lack just a wee bit of pace. The big man's come in, two goals, two games, scored against Dundee. Listen, it plays it up really well for the weekend. Gogic will be back for the semi-final against Motherwell. We'll probably be our strongest team. We'd be out there, and it's a one-off game come Saturday for us with a chance of getting to a cup final. So, you know, if we'd won, I think they gave the team loads of confidence, but I think the way they played last night would have gave them a lot of confidence for a stronger team to come Saturday. It should be a great game against Motherwell, but I still think St Mirren will run out 2-0 winners.
Ooh, well, wait and see. Hope you're wrong, obviously. But there we go. We'll move on to the weekend. I love the contrast from Lundeluge. Remember his goal at Tannadice at the weekend? Might be like the easiest goal you could ever score.
Yeah.
He heads it in from about 2 inches, but then goes and produces that.
It was an
night,
absolute cracker last night, wasn't it?
Nice contrast. Thank you to Alec and Kirkdonald. Motherwell fans, Alex already going in early, says his team will do it the weekend. What are you thinking? And loads more to reflect on last night as well when we return.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Ross McCormick and Gordon Dalziel are here. It's 0141 951 1025. I think this is nearly an impossible teaser, honestly. Just this, Cammy McQueen has got it in for you guys, clearly.
Go on, then.
I might need to give you the fixtures, I think, because just to do this off the top of your head, I think is who are the last six Scots to score in a League Cup semi-final? Guessing, aren't you? Just
Barry McKay.
No.
Scots?
Mm-hmm.
James Forrest must be one.
He actually is. Yeah, against St Johnstone 2021.
Christie? Carl McGregor.
No, it's really. I suppose I'm saying it's tricky because I know the answers, so that's how I know that it's tricky.
Scott Brown's not done it.
Do you remember anything about the League Cup semis last season? That'd be a good place to start because it's harder.
Aberdeen 6-0.
Right, and the
Celtic,
other one.
Rangers beat Motherwell.
Andy Halliday.
Yes. Remember his celebration? Ran away, took his shirt off, toward it round, backflip, kissed the badge, knee slide.
Yeah.
All the rest of it.
And did no Scots score in the 6-0 against Aberdeen?
Must not have.
My goodness.
There you go. Let's bring in Hugh, who definitely would have celebrated that goal last season. He's a Motherwell fan. Hi, Hugh.
Hi, good evening. How are we doing?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad at all. Just quickly, while Ross is on, actually, they might not remember it. When he obviously first came to Motherwell, we were in Northern Ireland for pre-season tour, played against Crusaders, and Ross obviously wasn't playing that day. We were extremely drunk behind the goals. I mean, the staff there that day were brilliant. But we were on the park after the game. Obviously, I was speaking to Peter Latchford, Ale McDonald and things like that. And it was before Alan Burrows was involved with the club. And my partner says, oh, can I get my picture taken with the new boy? Which was Ross. So, because he wore, I think his kit number was number 8. And I always used to get Scott Leach's kit number and all that on the kit. So we were up speaking to him. And Leslie was a little bit worse for wear. And she turned around and says to Ross, she went, what's your name, son? I went, Leslie. He's just signed for Rangers. He just scored the last 16 of the Champions League. And I've actually still got the picture. I'll put it on Twitter for you.
No, don't bother.
All right, okay. He still gets that.
Because he'll be looking a bit more fresh-faced back then, I would imagine.
He was, actually. That's funny. He had his crew cut then as well. He'll probably remember that. But it was red hot that day. And Richie Foran and Jim Hamlin was wanting to come out with that night in Belfast.
I bet they were, yeah.
I says to Richie, there's no way you're coming out in Belfast with us. So, so anyway, it's just a wee memory for there for Ross. Was it the St Mirren fan? Was it Andy? Alan? Andy?
Hey, how terrible is that? I can't remember. Alex, you began with an A.
Alex. Just a couple of points before I go into my main one about the game last night and obviously looking forward to Saturday. It will be a tight game on Saturday. But the thing about the St Mirren game last night, I know you were talking about it because I was listening to it. Does Lon Shanklin actually going to, is he going to get anywhere near that ball? There's another point. Without him obviously saying, oh, he was instructed, he possesses that. So is he going to get anywhere near that? I don't think so. But the main point I want to obviously talk about was Motherwell last night against Dundee United. I think it's probably, you're not going to get any fans coming on to saying this, but I was bitterly disappointed in how Dundee United approached the game last night. See, I know we were all over them for the first 45 minutes. But I thought they were quite passive and negative last night, the way they set up. Their goalkeeper after 11, 12 minutes was wasting time. He's rolling the ball out and I'm thinking, did you come here for a game? Or they were better in the second half of the first 15, 20 minutes, but that's it. But Mother were outstanding last night. And on a bigger park on Saturday, I think it will be a difficult game against St Mirren because the way they're going to set up. But I think we will play them off the park. It's just we need to finish. That's the problem. We'd not scoring enough goals, if you know what I mean, to finish teams off early on or anything like that. But it will come. But it's just that one game I'm needing it.
You and I were talking about this in the office, Gordon. It's going to be so fascinating because I've heard that school of thought and I get it. And I obviously personally hope Hugh's right. I can imagine Motherwell might enjoy
the pitch
and everything and try and pass it around. But St Mirren are so good at what they do. And you look at how many balls they put into the box last night. That was Hearts. That they caused so many problems last night. League leading Hearts, 8 points clear at the top Hearts. Lindelöf's pulling off overhead kicks and Killian Phillips is a machine. And, you know, I like Hugh's confidence, but it feels very hard to know which side of that will come out on top.
Oh, listen, I think the semi-final, four teams Saturday and Sunday, all the fans will fancy their chances. It's so evenly balanced. I think Motherwell St Mirren will be a cracker, Gordon. I've got to say, I know what Hugh was saying about Dundee United. I only seen the highlights, but I listened to Jim Goodwin after it. And to be fair to Jim, he just come out, he put his hand up and says, tactically, I got that wrong tonight. I was all over the place. I shouldn't have played the tactics I went with. But that takes nothing away from Motherwell.
Do you think all of a sudden, Hugh, though, teams are conscious of the way Motherwell move the ball? And are just having to adapt and try not to let that happen ultimately.
Definitely, because you've obviously seen us this year. We moved the ball so quick. I mean, there was that point last night. Then United put the ball right in the corner. We're around the corner and we've got three players in there, and they've got four on top of us. And within three passes, we're in the halfway line. And you've seen the United going, where's the ball went to? Just because it was that quick. And I must, that's our strongest midfield, the three that played last night, three that started, Fadinger, Watt and Slattery. Just, you sit back and watch it. It is scary at times. You think, oh no, don't do this. But that's the enjoyment you want out of football. You want the excitement out of football. So it's so refreshing to see. But I just honestly think I've got a lot of time for someone. I liked Robinson when he was at Firth Park as well. I didn't want to see him go, but he left. Phillips and St Mirren, I think that's
I don't like playing against him. He always does something against Millwall. I like him. He's a good player. He puts himself about. He's good in the air. But I just think they'll play a bit tighter. Sitman, Robinson's not stupid. He will play a bit tighter and maybe give us a wee bit more room in the ball. I just think a bigger park will suit us. But I do honestly think it's going to be a brilliant game. I really, really believe it. I think it's going to be the best game out of the two of them.
Is it important that Motherwell started winning some games, though, to state the obvious? Because what it allowed, like, nobody wanted to be there. That's never the aim, is just to play well and not get the results. But also, the narrative outside starts to build of people who, quite frankly, aren't watching, really aren't watching Motherwell 90 minutes, of which is understandable, and saying, oh, so what is this? What, you pass it about a bit and you can't get results, kind of, who cares? And I'm still hearing people saying that, and people that should maybe know better, saying that Motherwell are actually just, maybe they, you know, there's a lot of sideways and backwards passes. That's just not true. You're not watching, you're not paying attention if you think it's only sideways and backwards passes. It is so bold. I'm not saying it's perfect, and that's why there are still limitations, and that's like, you're still Motherwell, you still get that budget, you still get those players. It might not end up in a wonderfully successful season, but I'm still hearing stuff about the style that is just wrong.
I think it was highlighted before they played Livingston, because they're thinking, right, Livingston won, Aberdeen won, Motherwell bought my league, what's this style of football? It's all about winning games, right? And you can argue with that, but Motherwell stuck to their guns and they've got the couple of results. What I think Hugh would have enjoyed last night, I thought the two goals, the first goal was excellent. I thought it was a real team goal. Andy Halliday would have been applauding that on the bench. It was brilliant. They would like to score a little bit more goals, but that will come.
But then, by the way, see on that, this is the other thing. I think they're let me double check. I think they're the third highest scorers in the Premiership. So, like, some of the stuff I'm hearing just it's not backed up by any fact.
Yeah, but the great thing for them is they're creating so many chances, Gordon, with the brand of football they're playing. Every Motherwell fan's enjoying it. They're loving the going to the games, especially the home games, and they're playing delightful stuff. I agree with you. Look, you're looking at Motherwell and you're thinking, oh, Motherwell could play St Mirren off the park. Do not underestimate this St Mirren side. They will know about Motherwell, the way Motherwell play, everything about them. Stephen Robinson is a very, very talented manager. He'll be doing his homework. I just think tactically that'll be a brilliant game at the weekend. I really do.
I think it'll come down to the occasion as well. And see for me, I'd sort of half agree with everyone. They say Motherwell, bigger pitch, it could suit them. But if they don't handle the occasion well, it's a lot easier to come and play the way St Mirren are going to play than to come and play the way Motherwell are going to play.
Last time Motherwell got to cup finals, it was under Stephen Robinson, and they played quite like his St Mirren team played, and they were brilliant and they were so effective, and they cruised into those finals. So
you'll have something up your sleeve
to nod
sure.
to that. Gordon, on that. So Motherwell scored 16, same as Hibs, four more than Rangers, same as Celtic. Only Hearts and Dundee United are on 17. So,
but I think it's a compliment, because Motherwell fans are saying it as well, Gordon, is the fact that they create so many chances with the way they're playing. It's as simple as that. You know what I mean? They're creating chances, they're playing good stuff. Hugh was talking about it there. He enjoys going along and watching it. He talks about the midfield. I think the big boost for him, Slattery, I think he's a fantastic footballer. I think he's got a great brain, I really do. I think he knows the game inside out. He brings so much to the middle of the park, and everybody's buying into the way this manager's got the confidence his players to play out of tight positions. So far it's been absolutely brilliant. Look, it could go any way at all Saturday, but I think we're in for a bumper again.
Well, St Mirren have been the standard setter for clubs of that size in recent seasons. It shouldn't be overlooked. Thank you very much to Hugh. We're all looking forward to it. Let's bring in Stephen, who's a Celtic fan. How are you, Stephen?
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks very much for taking my call.
Pleasure. What made you call?
About 2 weeks ago, I'd called in right after Brendan had made that ridiculous analogy, you know, the car analogy, and I said if he'd a bad 8 weeks, that he would be gone. I believed that the breakdown between him and the board was never going to be reconciled, and in this stage, the manager was always going to go. You know, I think it's the correct decision, because I believe if Brendan was in charge of Celtic for another month, we'd have most probably been out of the Cup, been out of Europe, and probably out of the league. I'm not saying that that's still not maybe going to be the case with the way the team's been, but I'm
I'm certainly more positive now. And when I watched that game last night, I seen a team of players that looked refreshed and as if they'd something to fight for. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think it's been a good move getting Brendan out. Since he's gone, I think it's a good move.
Thank you. How important is that, just building up a feel-good factor, a belief ahead of the weekend? Because Rangers, Celtic are still going to need to go to a big League Cup semi-final at Hampden against their biggest rivals. Without Alistair Johnson, without Cameron Carter-Vickers, as far as I know, without Kelechi Iheanacho, probably with Daizé and Maeda, but without knowing for sure if he's anywhere near 100%, with some of the other big players not quite firing. So that stuff hasn't changed since last night, but what it's done is it's given a few signs that, well, you know what, maybe Johnny Kenny can lead the line. Maybe he can score goals. You know, maybe Trusty can fill in there for Cameron Carter-Vickers. I think it was about trying to get a feel-good factor ahead of the weekend.
Yeah, and that's why I think it was a manner of the win. They could have went there last night and sneaked a 1-0, you know, last-minute goal, 1-1-0, but it wouldn't have changed much in the player's mind. But the fact that they've went there, they've scored four goals at home, which is, I believe, is at the joint most that they've scored all season. So already you're thinking, right, okay, you know, but we're back a little bit. It would have gave a feel-good factor in the players, so it gives them that little bit of extra confidence, which I think they need, and they've been lacking it so much recently.
But both sides have, haven't they? It's incredible, the change of manager. Just that manager bounce. Rangers change their manager. Rangers fans really fancy it on Sunday, and rightly so, because they've got as good a chance as any. Celtic looked at that last night under Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney, and all of a sudden saying, oh, that's the Celtic that we used to watch, that fast-flowing football, scoring four goals. We're set up for brilliant weekend football.
Because the games are so often, so frequent, you do go game to game a bit and you look for signs that things have improved or have changed. Do you remember Bran? That was 1 week ago.
I know.
1 week.
I know. It's
we were inundated with calls about how terrible it was and all that.
The players out, get them back, and look at
them.
But
all of a sudden, two games on, signs of improvement. Similarly, Celtic, I mean, this week will go down as one of the most incredible weeks in Celtic's long history. I mean, look at everything that's happened. But all of a sudden, just turn up, just win football games, and it doesn't fix everything else, but it makes everybody feel differently.
Yeah, I think the two teams feel completely different from, as you say, last week. Celtic probably feel completely different from Sunday after looking at Celtic's performance in the second half against Hearts. Rangers fans looked at that game last night and thought to themselves, this manager's got something about him, organisation really good, getting a tune out of one or two of these players, still a bit to come, semi-final, bring it on.
Looking forward to it all for sure. Thank you very much to Stephen on the line. That was Stephen and Kirkintilloch, happy with what he's seeing from Celtic at the moment. Still time to get your calls in, and don't forget, every caller who makes it on air goes into the hat for a pair of tickets to the Legends Lounge at Air Races as well. So that's a really good prize. That'll be a brilliant day out. I double checked, I say it every year, Gordon DL still banned from Air Races, we think, due to misdemeanours when he was the Air United manager. But nevertheless, you could go and have a good time on his behalf. And it's a really good prize, that, the Legends Lounge. It overlooks the parade ring. You get your table for the day, a private bar, private betting facilities. You get a welcome drink. So it's a good day out. You can buy the tickets as well, air-racecourse.co.uk. But you might as well come on here, talk football with us, and win your tickets. So that's the incentive for you between now and the end of the show. What about the teaser tonight? The last six Scotsmen to score in the League Cup semis. Andy Halliday, James Forrest.
Right, I'm going to maybe be silly. Is Rooney Scottish?
Wayne Rooney.
No.
Oh, Adam Rooney. Nah, he's Irish.
Is that a St Johnstone player?
Sean Rooney.
Sean Rooney.
I said Adam and you said
sorry,
yes.
Sorry,
he scored in the final,
did he? Final, not the semi. So I see you're thinking there.
Right, St Johnstone must have had a Scottish player that scored in the semis.
No.
I'm really struggling here. Aberdeen then.
Why don't you just throw like a sort of likely goal scorer in the mix? Scottish. Famously Scottish. If tonight's show is anything to go by.
Shanklin.
Yes. Against Rangers in 2023. Okay, three to get. You'll never get them, quite frankly.
Thank you.
But we'll see how we go when we return.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're into the final part already. Been a quick old show, this. It's always good when you get a nice midweek fixture card like that, isn't it? Everybody playing, apart from the bottom two, incidentally, Dundee and Livy. So loads to get through. Still time if you want to get your thoughts over to us and reflect on last night, look forward. Celtic's managerial search hasn't had a look in, and it's 10 to 8. It's incredible, but I suppose we're looking at the games and plenty of time to do that. The teaser tonight, and just a quick reminder, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com if you want to submit a teaser. Cammy McQueen has done it tonight. It's brutally difficult. Six Scots, the last six Scotsmen to score in a League Cup semi-final. Andy Halliday against Rangers, Lawrence Shankland also against Rangers in 2023. You're then going back to 2021. James Forrest did it against St Johnstone. I will concede, in the interest of clues, you're looking for two former Rangers players and one former non-Old Firm player.
Right, we've got one. And this
I will decide if you've got it.
He got it. It was brilliant.
Scott Wright.
Wonderful from you. Yep, mm. Scott Wright against Hearts in 2023.
Right. One Rangers and one non-Ranger.
Yep.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Correct.
You're looking for a Rangers midfielder against Aberdeen in 2022. And someone who scored
for who?
Against St Mirren in 2020.
For who?
Well, you mentioned the winners.
St Johnstone.
Yeah. Do you remember who they played in the final? It's another so called small team.
Livingston.
Mm. We'll get back to you. Kieran's on the line. Take it away, Kieran. Hi, Kieran. Can you hear us?
Hi, panel. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure. What made you call in tonight?
So, it's in regards with obviously the Celtic management. How we played last night has been quite opposite to how we've been all season. It was really good to see. So I wanted to know what the panel thought about potentially giving Martin O'Neill the job until the end of December, when the Norwegian league finishes, and then getting Kjetil Knutsen, the Bodø Glimt manager, in.
Listen, I think a lot of this will depend on the next couple of weeks, as in Sunday. Sunday could be a game changer. You know, all of a sudden, yeah, you lose that to Rangers. Celtic fans might be thinking, yeah, we need a manager in as quick as possible.
You can't,
to steady
you can't,
ship.
And I'm going to upset Falkirk fans. I see the other night on Sky, had to go on live and react to Brendan Rodgers, and I was on for about 20 minutes and was just saying anything that came to my head, and I happened to say I thought last night would take care of itself for mm-hmm. Celtic. I was getting battered by Falkirk fans. It was disrespectful, arrogant.
Could be better, it was.
I hope they enjoyed the game last night.
Was that producer John saying that to you?
But I'm going to now flirt with disrespecting them again, if that's the way it's been taken. You can't beat Falkirk, and then that's enough to say give Martin O'Neill the job to yeah. Christmas, can you?
No, but I think if this keeps going and he gets a result at the weekend, then I think by Monday people will be saying, look, give him it to... Probably the end of the season, they'll be probably saying. But look, I just listened to Martin's interview on Monday.
Oh, he kept stressing it, didn't he?
Yeah, he was too heavy on it, wasn't he? I think he was thinking, right, guys, look, doesn't matter how this goes for me, it is a short-term fix. They need a young manager in here. And Celtic will certainly be working very hard behind the scenes to achieve that. But just now, it's up to Martin O'Neill, Sean Maloney to go and get results, and a difficult one at the weekend.
I think Celtic play 14 times before the end of the year, something like that.
Yeah. What? Why has it got to be a young manager, though? Why? Mm. Why is it not the best man for the job? You've seen what happened across the city with Russell Martin, who's a young, highly rated manager.
See, on that, though, I wonder if they just mean younger. I don't think Celtic are wedded. I don't think Celtic will be wedded to an age bracket.
It's the only time I could get a job now. Younger.
Aye. Just. Do you know what I mean? I don't think Celtic are going to say it has to be someone under 40. It just inevitably it's going to be someone younger than 73.
Yeah, no one's going to change my mind. There's one guy, and I've seen Celtic play a lot for a lot of years. The best football that I've seen them play is under Postecoglou. He's out of job. Go and get him.
I don't know if it's quite as easy as that, right? I know what you're saying. I'd love Postecoglou to come back. I think his style of football is brilliant. I like him. You don't know his situation with Forrest, contract-wise. Also, you don't know if, and I said this earlier, what people forget is sometimes family and everything comes into the decision. They've been in Scotland, they've went down to England, they've had a good spell down there with Tottenham, obviously won the trophy, obviously things didn't go well at Forrest for them. They might just no fancy coming back to as much as Celtics are a massive pull.
So Kieran, you're pretty set on Knutsen. You know, he gets so much praise for Bodo Glimt. He's done really good things. I don't know why he's not had a move yet, and I don't know if Celtic could get him if he'd want it. There's a lot to go there, but is he your man?
So I phoned up when Ange left, and don't get me wrong, if Ange comes back, I will 100% be happy with that, because as Ross said, it is the best football I've seen in recent times. But I phoned up, and I believe that Knutsen should have been in charge instead of Rodgers coming in. And I just think kind of what he's done with a small club, especially when you look at Bodo Glimt in European matches, they bet us under Ange Postecoglou. They punch a lot above their weight, and they're very successful domestically, whereas Celtic, of course, were successful domestically, but we're missing that European edge that we once had. And I just think...
He did progress through the Champions League last season, though, and ran Bayern Munich very close.
Most definitely, and we looked really good, but we're talking 1 year out of how many years under Ange. We won Europa League, and then in the Champions League we didn't quite get there, given the football was a lot better, especially the game against Real Madrid. But I do feel like we went back to Rodgers, we go back to Postecoglou, then what happens in 2-3 years' time? Do we go back to Brendan Rodgers again once everything's all settled there? I think if we get a manager with a fresh outlook in, I'm seeing rumours about the Club Brugge manager, which, yeah, that's fine, but for me, I think the front runner should be Knutsen at Glimt.
I saw Kieran McKenna questioned at length today. I don't know if you saw it. To be fair, he answered a lot of questions on it, but he also batted them all away, really. He's talking about being focused here, and you see, you know, won't be here forever. It's a brilliant one, because you know that the headline, like the Roger Hanna and his pals were watching it, and the line you always hear is "didn't rule it out." You know, so he didn't rule it out, but we'll wait and see. Thank you very much to Kieran and East Kilbride, who, as you can hear, will be the final caller once Martin and Neil till Christmas. Then Knutsen brought in Andy Halliday, Lauren Shankland, Scott Wright and James Forrest are four of the last six Scots to score it in a League Cup semi-final.
It was a young Rangers player that came on subs, isn't it? Was that an older player?
And he was playing against Aberdeen, his former club.
Ryan Jack,
2022.
That was and one of my
young
two.
Ryan, yeah.
Really young Ryan. Really tough one. Livy against St Mirren, 2020.
Is that a Livy player?
Yeah. Stuff, I'll need to be honest
Give
with
us
you.
The initials there.
SR.
Robinson.
Scott Robinson. There we go. Pretty tricky. They don't need to be that hard, but send your questions in fulltime@clyde1.com. Thank you very much to everyone who called and tweeted, and those of you who just watched on YouTube or wherever else. Make sure you subscribe to that YouTube channel. Gordon Dale's promised to do some wild things on the show if you get him a certain number of subscribers, so I can't reveal what they are at the moment, but make sure you subscribe. You can listen back wherever you get your podcasts, and the beauty of this show is we don't go away for long. Back tomorrow at 6 o'clock with Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen. Enjoy the rest of your evening.